Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. This is Dr. Joan talking to you live from Pearl River, Louisiana. And we'd like to start a series on the book of Romans. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible. Certain passages of it mean a lot to me and have helped me out a lot. I know I'm not the only one that has helped. And we'll go over that in a couple of minutes. I'd like to welcome you. And if we can help you out with any spiritual needs, biblical needs, scriptural needs, knowing Christ better, whatever, give us our email address is wsm217@gmail.com. And so I'd like to talk to you a little while about the book of Romans, and we'll start with mainly introduction tonight. The book of Romans, though this epistle is in order placed the first of the epistles, yet it was not first written. There were several epistles written before it, as the two epistles of the Thessalonians, the two to the Corinthians, the first epistle to Timothy, and that to Titus. The reason why this epistle stands first is the excellency of it. Some have called it the gospel according to Paul, and it's an excellent book. And so let's go over it a little bit. Romans, of course, was the imperial city. It was All roads went to Rome. It was the capital of the world. The Roman government lasted for about 1,000 years. It never really was conquered. It just kind of fell apart. And there's a lot of prophecy about Rome coming back together, or the countries that were once in Rome making up some of the countries that will be involved in the latter part of Revelations. So Rome is always, ever since it was founded before Christ, has always been very important. You go over to Europe, you go over to Africa, you go to the Middle East, anywhere in Europe, in that area, you'll find ruins of Roman temples or their colosseums. They're everywhere. The roads are still being used by today that were built 2,000 years ago, even in England. So there's a Romans, of course, was a very important city, and it's going to be another important city in the coming soon. It could be soon because of the times we're living in. But you can break down the book of Romans into four parts. You got the wrath of God, chapters 1 through 3. You got the grace of God, chapters 3 through 8. That's the one I like. The plan of God, chapters 9 through 11, and then you have the will of God, chapters 12 through 15. Like I said, this was used by a lot of movements in the past. I mean, huge movements. Now, there's some verses in chapter 8 that really spoke to me about the freedom I have. And comfort you in chapter 8 that really meant a lot to me and freed me from a lot of oppression, religious oppression. There's one verse that's in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17 that the Protestant Reformation started from. And that's how much this book I got sidetracked. Someone came into the room and they were going to say something. I guess they decided not to say it. But anyhow, Romans chapter 1, verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So right there is what liberated Martin Luther. Martin Luther used to be a priest, a Roman Catholic priest, and he could never get over sinning. None of us can. But it bothered him so much that the littlest sin that he committed, a thought or something, he would go to confessional and confess it to the priest. Really was getting irritated at him for coming for so many different things that he said, "Look, come when you really do something." And so this really bothered Martin Luther. And so they were, the Roman Catholic Church back then, as they are now, they oppress you by, you've got to come to the church to get forgiveness for sins. And you got to do certain things to find forgiveness for sins. The Roman Catholic Church, you know, you can buy your way out of time in purgatory, and you can do certain acts that will help you not spend so much time in purgatory. Purgatory is not mentioned in the Bible. It's not real. It's a fictitious makeup of the Roman Catholic Church to put fear into it, to oppress you. Okay. So Martin Luther came across this verse, and it says there, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith, not by works, but by faith, not by doing, but by faith." And that's what he realized. When he realized that the righteousness of God, and that's what Martin Luther and most of the world, religious world, is doing, is looking to be right with God. And be right with God and know that they're right with God. And it says here, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. The more you put your faith in God for everything, the more you will see the righteousness of God as you live that faith. So it's not about you doing anything or working or being a good, the best preacher or whatever, the best priest or whatever, doing a lot of works and doing all of this stuff for the church or quote unquote for God. No, it's about you having faith in God and God's will and God's way for your life. Martin Luther realized that. And when he realized that, he separated from the church, the Roman Catholic Church, and he wrote his 95 complaints against the Catholic Church on church door. I forget the name of it. It's in Germany, the church. But it's there. And then the printing press was just invented. And that was one of the first things that they mass-produced. You see, the printing press was the internet of the day. That was how news got around, how everything got around was by the printing press, by printing up copies. And so that's what Martin Luther helped Martin Luther to get the word out or get his message out, how that the Catholic Church was crooked, it was dishonest, and that the true Christian is one that lives by faith in Jesus Christ and the finished work of Jesus Christ and not by the dictates of the Catholic Church. And that just busted everything right open. And that's when the Protestant Reformation started. Then you started You had the Lutherans. They came out of that. The Presbyterians came out of that. You've had all kind of different organizations came out of that. And then when in the 1700s, one of the Wesley brothers had a revival when he read Martin Luther's commentary on this verse. And he was really, I forget, John Wesley was really into the Anglican Church, which was not much different than the Roman Catholic Church. They still had control over you. There was no freedom. You had to worship a certain way and do these certain things, or you're going to be in trouble with the church. And so he had a revival from reading Martin Luther's commentary on Romans and his what Martin Luther said about Romans chapter 1:17, that the just or the righteousness of God is revealed by faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So living by faith in Jesus makes you justified in the eyes of God, makes you righteous in the eyes of God. And that's what started the Reformation, which started the split from the Catholic Church. Then later on, it became a split from the Anglican Church. And so you had all, and that really broke up the oppression of the Roman Catholic Church. And then it freed up for the Protestant Reformation, even away from the Anglican Church, which really was part of the Protestant Reformation. But Wesley went further into it, and actually when the United States was founded, that really opened up the freedom of religion in this country. There was no country before the United States of America that did not oppress you according, or no government that would oppress you according to your faith. Even after we became a country in 1776, Massachusetts, it was required that everybody be an Anglican to be in the state of Massachusetts. You had to be a member of that church. Well, that's a break off of the Episcopalians, but Episcopal Church. But that was the law. But so you still had that problem with the government trying to tell you how to worship God and worship. And you, I could go into other, but if you go to Williamsburg, you had the Episcopal Church, and it was required for you to go to church every Sunday. If you didn't go to church, they could punish you, put you in jail. They could put you in the stocks, different things like that. But that went away when the United States got going and people began to realize their freedom of religion to worship God as they wanted to. And this verse right here, Romans chapter 1, verse 17, catalyst for two revivals. One in Germany, one in England, and then it is the background to the freedom of religion in this country. Remember, this is the first country that's ever had that freedom. All other governments required certain types of religion. So that's why this is so important, Romans, the book of Romans, or Romans, especially Romans 1:17. So God bless you. If we can help you out, email us at wsm217@gmail.com.